everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us. And we're going to be sharing brand new information, as we do every day, on how to live a longer and healthier life. Today, we're going to start with a study from the University of Western Australia. And this is about vegetables can help protect elderly women from hardening of neck arteries. These arteries, including the carotid artery, that you don't want to have blocked, occluded, or stiff, because it supplies the blood to the brain. Well, elderly Australian women who ate more vegetables showed less carotid artery wall thickness, according to research in the Journal of the American Heart Association. What was the key? Something I'll bet some of you are using every day, and others hopefully will begin to. Cruciferous vegetables. You know, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, watercress, radishes. And they're cruciferous and very powerful in preventing disease, mainly cancer. But this goes beyond cancer. This was a great study that explored the impact of different types of vegetables on subclinical atherosclerosis, the underlying cause of cardiovascular disease. And we all should be concerned about that, because you could even be normal weight and have clogged arteries. It depends upon what your diet has been. And time and again, including with a very good friend of mine for almost 30 years, who was really athletic and loved to dance, would dance all the time. And I'm sure many of you remember her, very tall. And then she'd wear a hair up, so she's like 6'6". I'm 6'2", and I had to look up at her when we were dancing. And this woman could dance for hours. She could power walk. She won the gold medal in the San Francisco, the San Francisco Marathon. And, but she was not paying attention to her diet. Her theory was that as long as she was exercising, she was healthy. You know, hey, Gary, I don't have high blood pressure. You know, my heart is great. I have an athletic heart. So, you know, my body processes everything and throws out what it doesn't need. I said, no, that's not how it works. How it works is that every single thing you take into your brain and body will impact it to some minor degree. If you go out binge drinking, like a lot of kids in college, you're not causing an adverse effect in a minor way. You're killing millions and millions of brain cells. But when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, you have billions more to kill. So it might take you 20 years before you actually see the effect. But then that's just one thing. Are you doing other things that are unhealthy? Because it'll accumulate against you. And one day, you're going to wake up and you're going to have arthritis, or high blood pressure, or congestive heart failure, or some other condition. But the same works in reverse. Every positive thing you do, it accumulates to your betterment. So the things that most people, oh, you're taking the vitamins, you don't need those vitamins, you get it in the food. No, you don't. And minerals, you get that just by drinking water. No, you don't. You get a little bit, but not enough to meet your needs. So supplementation is a very important part, one of the pillars of good health. So think about the people who think, well, I look good, I'm strong, I'm healthy, and they don't care about anything else. And they don't care about stress. I'll burn it off. And by the way, for until just a year ago, my entire adult life, since I came to the city, I lived on the Upper West Side. And at 79th and 80th on Broadway, there's a gym. And it's on the second floor. And every night, I would take a break after counseling people. And I would counsel people from generally around 10 o'clock at night, unless I was going to go out with friends, go to a Broadway show or something. Then I would start at 11. And I would counsel people for about 3 hours, till about 1 in the morning, sometimes 2. But then I would take a break and I would walk down Broadway to Lincoln Center. It's just, I loved the walk, and I walk everywhere. And Lincoln Center in particular, fountains were on, the lights were on the fountain. There was no crime. It was wonderful. And I'd look up, and no matter what time I walked in the evening, they had these treadmills right up against the windows, and you could see all these people. And they were almost all young people. And you could see in their faces there was enormous stress, not just from the workout, but these people were trying to burn off and rebalance themselves from the stress they accumulated during the day. I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of those were in some professional career where you don't work normal hours. You expect to take your work home with you. You're expected to commit yourself because you're going to get the big reward. Hey, look at the person that works the longest hours, the hardest, is the smartest. They're the ones who get the big paychecks, or so we were led to believe. And a whole generation, my generation, and our children's generation, the X generation, they believed in this. Now, why is that not a good thing? Because you shouldn't be at a gym at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night running just to rebalance your anger and your rage and your stress and your angst. You should be enjoying life and friends and family and pets and your loved ones and relaxing, reading, enjoying music, going out dancing. But that's not what we do, is it? And I share that with you for a simple reason. Because these people think, I'm healthy. I come in the morning, I have my double latte. Double latte, wow, you're getting about 400 milligrams of caffeine. If you keep that up, that's going to cause a hyper-reactive personality. Because when you're not getting that caffeine, you're going to come down and crash. You're going to be in these phenomenal mood swings. And that's what we see. Artificially stimulating what should be natural energy production with artificial energy production. A person feels like they're tightly wound. Everything is like urgent and now and do what I say. So I share that with you because as we age, everything that we made a mistake in earlier in life catches up with us. Early on, you look over your shoulder, you don't see any problems. Later in life, it's right behind you. And then by the time you hit 50, it's looking at you side by side. At 60, your whole life changes if you're the average person or even in these professions because you're burned out by that time. Everything seems to have lost its color. Everything seems to have lost its aroma. You're no longer smelling the roses. You can't smell the same way. You can't taste the same way. That's for most people, not everyone. So just a suggestion. When you include cruciferous vegetables on a daily basis, you're getting something called alum, A-L-L-I-U-M. And that's in onions and garlic and leeks and shallots. And that helps kill cancer cells, helps kill viruses, helps kill bacteria, helps kill stress in the throat. Well, vegetable types, including cruciferous, you're getting all these wonderful yellow and orange and red colors, green leafy and even legumes. And sonograms were used to measure carotid artery wall thickness. An entire carotid tree, the trees were examined to determine carotid plaque severity. Researchers observed lower, which is good, lower carotid artery wall thickness when people ate their vegetables. All right? But I'm telling you, it's not just about eating vegetables. That reduces your risk of stroke by 18%. Just that, 18%. Now, I'm not even talking about potassium reducing your risk of stroke and getting rid of the sodium that you're eating reducing your risk of stroke and meditating to reduce your risk of stroke and thinning your blood with vitamin E and tocotrienols and vitamin C and quercetin to reduce your risk of stroke and strengthening the heart muscle itself with L-carnitine and coenzyme Q10 to reduce your risk of stroke. So I'm just sharing this with you. All right, something simple, something easy. Just adjust your lifestyle and you suddenly readjust your risk of cardiovascular disease. Okay? And by the way, some of you, I'm sure, met two people. They were a couple. And the first day I met him was in the mid-1980s. It was at the Tri-State Healing Center. We had the whole second floor of the building. And we had all these medical rooms, a medical staff of 22. And we have a colonic therapy room and a holistic dentistry with Dr. Elmira Goodall, the top holistic dentist in America. And we had massage, therapeutic massage, Susan was a nurse practitioner, but did this because she enjoyed this more. We had an acupuncturist, and we had a chiropractor. We had every therapy plus all the drip rooms. And so anyhow, I got a call. There's a guy downstairs on the stoop. He can't make it up steps. So I walked down, and I said, hi. And he said, sorry, but I can't get up the steps. And his wife was there, and his daughter. And his daughter was just like throwing daggers with her eyes. And so I said, well, how can I help you? He said, well, he said, my name is Ed Finkelstein. That's Dolly Finkelstein, my wife. She's head of nursing at some place. And that's my daughter, who's a medical doctor. Now, they don't believe in this stuff. So I want to tell you that right up front. But you're only going to be dealing with me. And he's, I'm an engineer, and my carotid artery, the artery I was just talking about, it's blocked 95%. So as an engineer, they told me they should go in there and deal with this surgery. But I'm looking at the science, and the science says I have a 15% chance of dying on the operation table, and then an additional 15% of dying within a year after this. And it really doesn't correct the problem. It's merely like a stent that gives a temporary alleviation. And I was told that you help people with these conditions nobody else can help. I said, well, I said, let's give it a try. So we started, and I counseled him, gave him his protocol on the sitting on the stoop of the building, and as people were going up and down. And I said, it's going to be rough. You're going to have to come in 3 days a week. And he did. And after about, and he couldn't walk 50 feet. And after about 3 months, there was major improvement. And one day his wife came in with him, brought him in, and she had her whole face was paralyzed and her lip was down. She had Bell's palsy. And I went over to her and I said, can I help you with this? She said, no, there's nothing can be done, nothing. It might take a month, might take a year, might take 5 years before this self-corrects. But, you know, I teach nursing. I know what works and what doesn't. I said, you're right. In your field, you're not in my field. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. Your husband's going to be here sitting getting chelation therapy. Why don't you allow us to try something? So she said, okay. So I gave her a special protocol, an intravenous protocol. And 3 days later, she came in. It was gone. 3 days. And suddenly, she believed in something that she didn't believe was anything but quackery. Now, let's jump ahead a year. A year later, in Central Park, the New York Red Runners Club and the larger group that oversees all athleticism in the tri-state area, the Metropolitan Athletic Congress, and at the national level, the Athletic Association that sponsors all the races around America, track and field, they had both won first place in a running race in their age group. They would go on for years and years to be outstanding athletes of the year. This isn't a popularity contest. When you win it based upon what was your time against the national record. And the good reason for that, because what if you're competing with no good competition? So you could go slow and win first place. No, this only counts if you broke records or came within a second of a record and how many races you did and what distances. Every single year, New York Road Running Club, Metropolitan Athletic Congress, and the USA Track and Field Association, they were the top athletes in their age group. Yeah. And so they were in our running and walking club, and I did a film on them. It's Power Aging, and we showed it on PBS stations. And they would go around the country, and they were in ideal health. Absolute, you couldn't get any fitter. Why do I share that story? Because how many people at 70 years of age who are retired and have a health problem think that they could suddenly become the best in all of America? Of every person at competing, they're the best. That meant that they were getting younger, reversing the aging process. It counted to them. Now, it was only two people in that particular situation, but there are a lot of those people out there. So now we have to have a whole new mindset about how we age, how we produce disease, how we can prevent those diseases, how we can reverse those diseases, and you're never too old to turn that clock around. Now, from the University of Illinois and the Urbana campus, a study links nutrients and brain structure and cognition in healthy aging people. This new study explored the links between three measures known to independently predict healthy aging: nutrient intake, brain structure, and cognitive function. And their analysis adds to the evidence that these factors jointly contribute to brain health in older adults. This was published in the Journal of Nutrition. They found that blood markers of two saturated fatty acids, along with certain omega 6, 7, and 9 fatty acids, correlated with better scores on tests of memory and with a larger brain structure in the frontal, temporal, and parietal and insular cortices. So, take your omega fatty acids. And flaxseed is one of the best ways of getting it, and hemp seeds are another good way of getting them. Or you can take the omega-3 fatty acids as well. But get all your omega fatty acids. All right? And these are good biomarkers, and you should take a look at all the different nutrients that impact your health that have good science, especially with cognition and memory and intelligence tests. And you can get a blood test done. It's not expensive. And then you'll see that blood biomarkers like your homocysteine level, when it's elevated, that's bad. You can have a heart attack or stroke. And C-reactive protein, when it's elevated, it's bad. You can have a heart attack or stroke. Fibrinogen, the triglycerides, you don't want these elevated. How would you know they're elevated? You wouldn't know any of this. Get a blood test. Takes about a week for the blood to come back. It's painless, not expensive. And suddenly, it shows whether you're high, low, or normal. And you should know that, especially after the age of 27. Because at the age of 27, we're actually prematurely aging. So just something to consider. We can help ourselves. You can help your brain with those omega-6, 7, and 9 fatty acids. Okay? And that's what this study looked at. And also what they said is you scored higher on the memory test and tend to have larger gray matter volumes and higher levels of markers of 6, 7, and 9 fatty acids. Just want you to write that down so you have it. Okay? And finally, keeping a tighter rein on blood pressure, if you're over 50, really impacts your brain. This is from the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. I'll put it in this simple lay language. When you have the right approach to blood pressure, meaning having a glass of green juice every morning, green apple, green celery, green cucumber, and lemon, it lowers your blood pressure. When you have coconut water throughout the day, that lowers your blood pressure. When you de-stress yourself by meditation or mindfulness training, you lower your blood pressure. When you're in nature, when you're in water, a lake, a stream, a river, the ocean, you lower your blood pressure. When you're taking magnesium and other nutrients, you're helping lower your blood pressure. And N-acetylcysteine, NAC. Those are just some of the things that will do it. And then stop being angry, because that will also increase your blood pressure. So by doing these things, according to the University of Texas Health Science Center, it shows evidence of how the brain cells benefit from consistently lower blood pressure. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Network Open and systolic blood pressure intervention trial. This is done at multiple centers, and we just have too high a blood pressure in our society. So you want a healthy blood pressure, because it means less likelihood of a stroke or heart attack. Oh, and by the way, have cayenne in there also. And by the way, from the University of Michigan, most U.S. adults today say children have worse health than in past generations, and they're correct for a lot of reasons. I'm going to do a whole classroom on the air on that topic. But that's it for health nutrition, because we have a lot to discuss in our main program today. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Who said this? The first step in liquidating a people is to erase its memory, destroy its books, its culture, its history, then have somebody write new books, manufacture a new culture, invent a new history. Before long, the nation will begin to forget what it is and what it was. The world around it will forget even faster. That's where we are today, exactly where we are today. And that's why I'm concerned. After all, America is not divided by race, color, gender, or sexual orientation. America is divided into wise people and fools, and fools divide themselves by race, color, gender, or sexual orientation. That's a quote from an unknown person. Very apropos today, we've been balkanized. We've been ridiculed, mocked. There are 9 fundamental principles of propaganda, and virtually everything you're getting in the media today is propaganda, and it's against your interest, not for you. I watched a clip from, I believe it was CNN, where they were talking about, well, gee whiz, the Russian foreign minister was thinking, wow, wonder why they got rid of Fox's Tucker Carlson. And they made it look like, once again, Tucker Carlson was pro-Putin, and he's not. But what the irony of it is your regular fool of a watcher, a listener, will not understand what Tucker Carlson was doing by bringing on Scott Ritter and Doug, the best analyst of what's wrong with Putin's war and the proxy efforts by the United States, Great Britain, and European Union to fight Douglas McGregor came on and showed why we should not be thinking this is a war we should support. A, it's not a winnable war, and B, we're spending $100 billion that would be better spent in the United States. So clearly the neocons don't want an end to the war because there's massive amounts of money and propaganda to gain. But they first have to convince you there's only one truth, and that's the official narrative truth. Here's what someone had written, and that is the propagandaprinciples.wordpress. Quote, number one, the big lie. Always choose the big lie over the small. The masses will believe it more readily. Two, focus. Use only one or two selling points. Three, repeat. Use them over and over until your enemies know them by heart. Four, blame. Never waver. Acknowledge no doubt. Always blame. Never credit the other side. Debase, defame, dehumanize. Five, provoke. First, attract attention, then appeal to emotions. Six, crisis. Shades of gray don't work. Issues must be life and death, good and evil, freedom and slavery, love and hate. Seven, emotional symbols. Good slogans have no literal meaning, only a strong emotional appeal. Eight, pander. Ignore intellectuals and reasonable arguments. Target the unthinking masses with powerful emotional pitches. And nine, no limits. Ignore all moral limits whenever you deem it useful. That is the entirety of the media complex, the government complex, the intelligence complex, virtually all these individuals. I'm going to play a clip now from an interview last night. Naomi Wolf was my guest, Dr. Naomi Wolf. And we were talking at length about the actual proven statistics of the thousands percent increase in miscarriages, stillbirths, in the women who got the vaccines. The more vaccines they got, the more likely they were to have a miscarriage. And this happened not before, because we have all the records of every year before, but only in the vaccine year. And she stood up, and she thought the feminist establishment that is pro-women would stand with her. They challenged her. They attacked her. They erased her. She had some very unkind words about the feminist movement today. She said it doesn't exist. There is no feminist movement today. They've all been compromised. She was on a rant. And because for the last 35 years, Naomi Wolf has been one of the leading voices in the feminist movement. For the last 15 years, she has been the voice. And now she has no voice. She's not invited on any of the television and radio programs she used to be on on a weekly basis. It's hurt her at every level. So she's fighting back. She's fighting back by showing the truth. And guess who doesn't want to hear the truth? The Democratic, corporatized, liberal community. Now, the liberal community is divided into two. Historical liberals that many of us grew up with, and then the corporate liberal. Let me explain the difference, just so you can understand what we are up against and why you should pay careful attention to those who are trying to convince you of the rightness of something when it's really not right at all. It's completely wrong, and you don't want to get sucked into their idea. For example, economic populism has become too cozy with Wall Street and corporate interest and has neglected the interest of working-class Americans. If you doubt me, ask, has any of your neighborhood, any neighborhood in the United States that was ghettoized, has it been de-ghettoized? Have they brought back manufacturing jobs the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bushes took away? No, not at all. So who do they side with? Look at who they side with in 2008, 2001, and now. Corporate interests and banking interests, the very people that cause loss of jobs. You don't have to be brave for this. On foreign policy, they betrayed its old anti-war stance since 9/11, and the Afghanistan and Iraqi wars are examples. They have gone against raising the minimum wage, strengthening unions, and implementing progressive taxation. Not on their agenda. Democrats are now among the hawks rather than being traditional doves. Now Democrats are the champions of military interventions and regime change operations overseas, especially in Latin America, in the Middle East, and now Russia. The party is a vehicle for neocon diplomacy, anti-peacemaking, and anti-conflict resolution. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict, nothing to support Palestinian human rights at all, and self-determination. You could rebuild the West Bank. You could rebuild Gaza. You could bring millions of jobs back. You could have prosperity. You would have prosperity and peace. And they don't want that. And so it doesn't happen. One of my closest friends, a guy that used to help when I was that way, come in and run my company, is a part of trying to bring peace. And everywhere he went, he was stymied. The Cuban embargo, nothing to lift the U.S. embargo since 1960. The Saudi Arabia, nothing has changed and nothing has been challenged in our policies. Saudi Arabia continues to engage in nonstop human rights abuses, and we continue to support it. In Ukraine, nothing to negotiate in the way of peace, rather more vile to bring regime change in Russia. And China now wants to start a new war in the Pacific. And since its coup in Ukraine wasn't enough, the United States. Military spending, increasing military spending to strengthen the military-industrial complex to increase global arms sales. How does that support peace? It doesn't. Nuclear weapons, Obama's $1 trillion to resurrect nuclear armaments, and doing nothing to reverse the Trump administration's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal or to support the treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons. The drone warfare, Democrats under Obama basically implemented drone warfare, giving the president authority to strike anyone he wants, anywhere on the planet, for any reason he wants, with impunity. And 90% of people killed under Obama were civilians and children. Did you see a single criticism by anyone in the media? Not a one. On civil liberties, the corporate liberals support the whole basis of the U.S. Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, which takes away all of your rights. On immigration, now I support immigration because we are a country that was built upon immigration, and we become a melting pot where we benefit from every culture's uniqueness and differences if we can assimilate it and see the benefit. Clothes, culture, music, family values, all of these we can gain something from. And I don't believe that we should allow people to enter the country as freely as they want to without first asking, what is that person likely to do? Where they're going to work? How they're going to feed their family? Are they just going to go to New York and go into a hotel and, and be fed by the citizens of New York and cared for? They shouldn't. They should be able to come here and have a place in their own country that allows them the entry point. They come legally, and they can come and get medical evaluations to help them with any existing medical conditions. They can come and learn our language. They can come and know where they can be sent through a government program, both state government, local government, and federal government, where we find them jobs at a living wage. We can also build gigantic housing complexes in the transition period that would help them have a place to stay so they're not out there and susceptible to what they had already gone through, multiple layers of corruption in the countries from Honduras to Nicaragua and Mexico, where everybody wants something from someone who has nothing. And we know all this. And so therefore, if we built large housing complexes with medical facilities and counseling facilities, and then had a place where people could go and get work, then you're inviting them in under a humane principle. You're carrying them in as a citizen, as a person. But that's not what we're about. That's not what the Democratic Party's about. They just want to flood the country knowing that these people are likely to vote for them and then cast them aside. They have no value. Let me tell you a reality check here. Let's just say that you're out in Los Angeles or you're in New York City, or you're in Washington, D.C., or you're in Chicago, and you decide to go out this afternoon and have a really nice salad with all the different types of vegetables in it and your special homemade salad dressing or whatever the chef provides you. Do you stop for a moment, if you're a Democrat, and ask yourself, who grew this? Who harvested it? What pesticides were they exposed to? What conditions did they live under? Where did they sleep at night, in a shack with a lot of others? Were they harassed? Were they dehumanized? Were they paid slave labor? Because that's a reality. And if you can't face that reality, then how in the world should you be bringing them in here with absolutely no safety nets except those that provide you with a way of capturing their vote, but no sustainable life? There's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And every single administration has done it the wrong way. And also, by the way, down in, let's just take Honduras, Nicaragua, and El Salvador. These are controlled by gangs. The only exception now, and only right now, being El Salvador has arrested as many of the MS-13 gang members and other gangs as possible and put them in the largest prison in the world. And what happened? His popularity went up over 90% because these were the people who were using the citizens. Let's just say this is a real situation. It's not just hypothetical. You go into a high school, you see 13, 14-year-olds, 12-year-olds. You then get their addresses, you go to their homes, and you have a talk with the family, and you say that we're going to take your daughter, put her in the United States, have her work for us for the next 3 to 5 years. If you complain, if you file any report to any authority in the United States or here, we will come back here and we will kill every member of your family. And that includes all your brothers, your sisters, your aunts and uncles, grandparents and parents. And they mean it. They don't play. So now the girl goes into the United States under her current policy. Tens of thousands are now being used as sex slaves. And they're kept there because the girl knows if she should run away or she should not obey, her family will die. What do we do to help them? Nothing. Mind you, we haven't even released the secret logs of the thousands of very high, profound, famous people from Jeffrey Epstein's logs who also engaged in sex with underage people. It's like pedophilia protected by our governmental agencies and then overlooked by everyone who has a political agenda that exceeds the human rights of a citizen in another country. So those are just some of the problems, but that's right now, and that's not going to improve. Our environmentalism, they turn their back on the urgent threat of climate change because it is too captured by industry interest on environmental regulation. They talk it, they don't walk it. On racial justice, they failed in dealing with systemic racism and inequality, especially on criminal justice reform, in which now the criminal is rewarded at the expense of the victim. Yes. In fact, when a man was being attacked and with a crowbar, the head of the Firefighter Association out in San Francisco, and he was beaten by a man with this crowbar and nearly killed, and all the man could do to defend himself, he got out a pepper spray and sprayed him. They have now released, completely released, the attacker, and they are considering charging the fireman with using pepper spray against his attacker. That's not just San Francisco. That's all the major cities in America, especially New York. Reward the criminal, punish the victim. Democracy on voting rights. They turned its back on the fight against voter suppression and gerrymandering or the influence of money in politics. In fact, it now engages and supports each of these. On corporate influence, they too closely align with corporate interests, particularly on trade policies and financial regulations, on anti-corporatism, rather than break up the monopolies and the trust. No, it supports them rather than supporting small businesses. On labor rights, it betrayed workers' rights, especially in the face of increased automation, globalization, which it supports and funds, but it won't support the people whose jobs are being taken and factories closed. It failed to support collective bargaining, protect workers from exploitation, and safety nets for those who lose their jobs due to economic crisis. On universal health care, it never fully embraced the universal health care system, such as Medicare for all. Rather, it has done the opposite to align itself with big pharma, big insurance, and private insurance industries. Free college tuition, we should have free college at the state level for public colleges and forgive the debt. We should not forgive the debt of those who choose to go to a very expensive college that has big endowments when there's a probability that for that pedigree degree you're getting, you're going to owe a lot and expect the public who is not going to college and working hard to come and pay your private bills. Private education, it's on you, chump. All right? Don't put that on the people. On public college, yes, forgive that. On affordable housing, it failed to provide affordable housing programs, reform zoning laws and regulations that contribute to rising housing prices. On police reform, it's done nothing. In fact, allowing systemic violence and crime to run amok. On intellectual property, at expense of public health, favors strong intellectual property protections, especially in pharmaceuticals and undermining generic drug manufacturers, or even to prevent drug companies from price gouging. It has done nothing. As a result, everyone's making as much money as they can. On financial regulation, done nothing, zero, zip, to regulate the financial industry and derivatives. Derivatives are the silent time bombs that every major bank has, about $100 trillion. So if your bank fails, they all fail. And doing nothing. They could have reinstated the Glass-Steagall Act, which regulates banks, or hold Wall Street executives accountable for their role in the dire financial crisis. To the contrary, with the exception of one major bank, they allow banks to merge. The stronger one, taking for $2 a share, the weaker one, like Lehman Brothers, was bought for $2 a share, $2.50 a share. So they've created these monolithic institutions. And then you go from working on Wall Street, running Goldman Sachs or major bank, into becoming Treasury Secretary or working for the Federal Reserve. So tell me again, I'm just curious. Why are you still voting for these clowns? But this is bad on both sides. I'm only giving you one side today. So with that, let's hear what Naomi Klein, one of the most important voices in the women's movement, says. Oh, and by the way, for those of us, and I count myself there because I've written with Barbara Seaman, she was one of the three leaders, major leaders, of the second wave of feminists. We wrote a 1,600-page book, and I've written four other books for women's health. For all of those of you who supported women's rights, meaning equal opportunity, not equal outcome, the outcome you're going to get is the outcome you deserve, but equal opportunity so you're not excluded. At the same time, equal pay for the work that you do and all the other things that would discriminate. So what happens now? Where would the women's movement, when it comes to protecting the rights of women, to say it's my body, my right, and I don't want to get the vaccine? Maybe I've already been infected, therefore don't need the vaccine. That science has shown that to be true. Or maybe I have an autoimmune condition. Maybe I have cancer, arthritis, lupus. And if I took that vaccine, it would only compound the situation, creating a hyperimmune response, which would cause my organs to fail. There was no one supporting him in the women's movement. They were attacked, made to feel like they were victims of vaccine apartheid. Just saying. Now let's go to Naomi Wolf for this short clip. This was on last night. And by the way, she was on a phone and she was traveling. And with 7 minutes to go, she lost the connection. We couldn't reconnect, so I just went and finished up the show. That's why you didn't hear her say goodbye at the end. Let's go to Naomi Wolf now.
Nobody, right? I mean, you know, the world has changed so completely in terms of access to information since 2020, and you're 1,000% correct. The narrative, and I wrote about this in my book, The Bodies of Others, and I taxpayer money to buy up every major legacy media platform to conform with, quote unquote, overcoming vaccine hesitancy. The Guardian took the money, the BBC took the money, NPR took the money, you know, on and on and on and on. So it's really, you mentioned that I used to appear on legacy news for 35 years. I was a media darling on the left. And overnight, I was exiled from all of those platforms. It turns out that very frighteningly, the White House, for whom I'd voted, and the CDC and DHS and the Bureau of the Census, which scarily, now I realize, oh my God, it could be the Bureau of the Census because they're in charge of checking that there's a decrease in the population. But they all colluded, a lawsuit has revealed, to deplatform me and to target me. There was a bolo out for me because of my menstrual symptoms tweet, be on the lookout, like I'm a fugitive. And this has happened, as you say, to every single, and there was a handful of us, right, principled, you know, journalist or doctor who has simply done what journalists and doctors are supposed to do, which is look for the truth, report the truth, give informed consent in the case of doctors. So there's a massive censorship. I think it's facilitated also through AI in ways that are new because the censorship is happening at a global scale, country after country after country, and also because the talking points of the narrative are being reproduced at a more comprehensive scale than human editors and publishers are capable of. And there are horrible consequences. I mean, I lost everything by just being a reporter on women's health issues, as I've been for 35 years, been celebrated for reporting on women's health issues for 35 years. I lost my business, six-figure withdrawal of an investor, you know, I mean, new opportunities that open up for us patriots and truth tellers, but it's very scary. And there's a point at which, you know, people can get broken financially or reputationally or, you know, Dr. McCullough speaks of being stripped of his affiliations one by one by one. So it's very terrifying to witness. And it has a practical consequence. I mean, the country has now been divided into two groups, depending on the media they consume. You know, people who listen to alternative networks like yours, and, you know, paradoxically, a lot of conservative and libertarian independent alt-right podcasts are getting access to this information. But my loved ones who believe that CNN never lies and the New York Times is the paper of record are thoroughly propagandized and believe things that are not true. And in dozens of cases, loved ones of mine are now suffering as a result of that from the side effects, serious side effects, ranging from kidney failure to myalgia that is life-changing to, you know, healthy young adults having, you know, shoulder replacements, knee surgery, you know, my beloved mother having, you know, myocarditis or tachycardia. I shouldn't say that. It's heart damage that's more less severe after the first booster of Moderna, you know. Every one of these symptoms is in the Pfizer documents. And by the way, Moderna is more than three times more lethal than Pfizer because more than three times the active ingredients, and Pfizer knew that. So we're living in a world in which, like, information is life, and that's why I'm talking as much as I can about this book, because what's in this book, the Pfizer documents book that we've released, is life-saving to people who don't get access to the information elsewhere.
So when they when they throw off Tucker Carlson, which I believe is a good thing because Tucker was attacking people that Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and others praised. He put up on one night, he put up 12 photographs of neocon, pro-war Republicans, including especially Lindsey Graham. And you don't do that on a major network because you can believe every one of those 12 powerful politicians is going to have something to say about it. And yet he provided a forum that we would not have had otherwise with as many people, plus his downloads and live. You're talking about 6 million people a day. And the majority of the Democrats and liberals, historical liberals in the United States, watched him. Why? Because they were learning stuff they couldn't get on any other station. So when you cut him off there, you actually do all of us a favor. Why? Because I have a lot of issues with Tucker Carlson. But I also realize that he provided a forum for Naomi Wolf and Abby Martin and Chris Hedges and Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi. And he was the one who brought on the people to challenge the war in Afghanistan, in Yemen, and also in Libya and in Ukraine. So the military-industrial complex, everyone in the State Department, he was number one enemy because he saw how wasteful everything was. So yes, he has a lot of flaws, but he also had a huge forum and he was willing to share it with people who had different ideas than himself. I've been telling you about what's coming, and we have to try to stop it. This is worse than Anthony Fauci's program and protocols. It's for the future, and there will be other pandemics, probably manufactured, as this one was. And here's the World Health Organization, a group of criminals, and they are dictating that they have total control over your life. Listen to what this is about. And this is actually something that's in writing. You can download it for yourself. And a few people are speaking up against it. We've been speaking up against it all along. But here is Redacted with Clayton Morse and his wife offering you these insights. It's only a few minutes long.
Talk about the World Health Organization treaty, Pandemic 2.0. How will they lock us up and throw away the key next time?
Okay, well, that does seem to be the plan. In a nutshell, this is not something, Rob, we are believing. This is something they have written down and we have read
and we're reacting
comprehended.
To They've
right.
written this down. This is their plan. It is not just necessarily true. It is really true.
So what we're talking about is the pandemic preparedness treaty that the World Health Organization announced in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, saying, we think we're doing such a great job with this pandemic. We think we need to give ourselves more power to keep doing that for future pandemics. That's basically the goal of this document. Now, at least in the United Kingdom, there is a debate about whether or not to join this pandemic treaty. In the United States, there is a bill in the Senate, but it's kind of stalled there and probably won't make any headway in advance of this binding treaty. Now, I can tell you that a damning speech in the UK Parliament by MP Andrew Bridgen is being suppressed online, and you better believe the mainstream media won't touch it. But it's an important speech. It was highlighted this weekend by Dr. John Campbell on his YouTube channel, and we are going to talk about it as well because it is so alarming. Now, first, a little bit of background. We've discussed this before, and I will just give you the Cliff's Notes. This is the WHO CA+. It's a treaty that the WHO is pushing on all 194 member states to give them control of all things pandemic. Now, when I read this a couple months ago, I presented you with this chart because it's sort of a bullet points of what they want to do. They want to have the opportunity to define the next pandemic, determine lockdowns, when, who, how long. They want to give themselves surveillance power, determine treatments, vaccine mandates, vaccine distribution, vaccine intellectual property and profits. And they want to redistribute basically everything in the name of pandemics. This was my interpretation from reading the draft in February. They did meet again a few weeks after this and propose, you know, sort of amendments to the drafts, but we haven't seen it yet. What I meant by redistribution of everything was literally from this statement from that draft saying the parties will identify and integrate into relevant pandemic prevention and preparedness plans, intervention that addresses the drivers of the emergence and reemergence of the disease from the human-animal environment interface, including but not limited to climate change, land use change, wildlife trade, desertification, and antimicrobial resistance. So that would claim that they could claim that anything and everything is a pandemic risk and then just have the power to change it. What you're using your land for, where you live, who you talk to, where you go to school. If anything, I mean, we saw school as a battleground for pandemics. If they decided that anything could be even remotely related to a pandemic, they would have the control to make changes. Now, beyond
and you pair that with the Restrict Act that they're working on, where they can, you basically will have a card that you're tied to. And if you don't go by what they're going to do, they can shut off, like you can only buy so many things, or they could make it so you couldn't buy things if you didn't do it. So it's like, it's kind of coincidental that these two things are being proposed at the exact same time.
Or not. Yeah.
Or not.
Now, beyond this terrifying prospect.
Okay. And it goes on from there. So when I'm explaining that your rights, your freedoms are being challenged by the World Health Organization, and that's a treaty, and a treaty supersedes state laws, federal laws. It will become supreme. And these are all criminals. And they go into depth about the guy, the new guy is supposed to head it, and he was just fired because he, in India, because he was doing something that was very nefarious, and their top medical organization got rid of him. And he becomes the head of the World Health Organization. Wow. And China controls it. Bill and Melinda Gates control it. Do you really trust them? Do you want them to dictate your future? Because that's what it's looking like. Right now, we're going to take a quick aside because we have Gerald Salante on the line. And Gerald, as you know, has a program on Wednesdays preceding this program. But coming up on May the 27th in Kingston, New York, is going to be another rally. I'm going to be there. Others are going to be there. And we're broadening the concept of the rally to try to get people to take back their rights and what to do, how to get off their grid, how to regain our own sovereignty. After all, we're not a democracy. We were never meant to be a democracy. We were meant to be a constitutional republic. Nice to have you with us, Gerald.
Hello.
Gerald, explain what's going to be different this time and why people were there not long ago should come back up, because we have a whole lot of brand new information to share with them.
Well, this is going to be a peace and freedom rally on Make America Healthy Again. And as I keep saying, when people ask me, what can I do to change things? I said, before you could do anything to change anything, you have to get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And that's what we're going to be doing with this rally. So it'll be more than just about peace and freedom in terms of no foreign entanglements, bring home the troops, secure the homeland, and stop wasting our money and stealing it from us to give to the military-industrial complex. It's going to be people like you and others speaking about how to get in the best shape you can, again, physically, mentally, spiritually, and morally. So it's a whole different vibe than we've done before.
I'm looking forward to being there. I hope people in this audience will see how important it is, because I'm not coming up there to talk about which vitamins you can take and which salads to eat that you can get every day here. I'm going to be talking about the big picture. All of the people who want control over your lives. They want control over our food supply. Why? Because they profit from it. They want control over the money supply by digital currency, having no cash, making it against the law. You could go to jail if you use cash. I'm going to talk about the people who don't want you using alternative therapy, don't want you using vitamins, and doing all they can to try to create disinformation campaigns so that people are confused. Well, should I or should I not do something? They want to control the outcome of that. And so all the specifics I'll be sharing with people at that time. So again, just show up. And Gerald's going to be there. Gerald's got a whole lot of interesting people, and he's got some surprise guests coming. So I don't want to go over those names now. But I'll be there, and others will be there to empower you. It'll be an empowering afternoon. It starts at 2 o'clock on Saturday, the 27th of May. So I look forward to seeing people there that day. Put it on your schedule now so you can be there. All right, and then following that, we'll be doing a premiere of my newest documentary in Woodstock. More on that later, not today. Gerald, thank you for all the good work, and we're going to have as many people there as we can because we've got a lot of people. My audience is an activist audience. They're used to doing things because they know if they don't, they have no control over the outcome of the future.
Well, you're right, and the future's in our hands. As I say, united we stand, divided we die. And it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams, and now is the time for that, a peaceful second American Revolution to bring back life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you, Gerald. Gerald Salonte. Again, that's in Kingston, New York. You can go up by car, you go up by train, bus, but be there. I'm flying directly back in to be there that day as well. Now, we're going to finish off now. If you have a comment you'd like to make, make it now, 888-874-4888. And while we're watching, if the phones ring, I'm going to share a new special with you. This is cardio stuff. And also coming with that is an award-winning documentary, Reversing Heart Disease and Stroke Naturally. I think it's 2 to 3 hours long. It's a long DVD. Now, the normal value would be $145. You're getting it for $69. You're saving $76. You're saving over 50% off. What's in cardio stuff? Because I believe that anyone over the age of 40 should make sure that they get a healthy diet, exercise, stress management. And then here's what's in one scoop. You're getting cacao, just C-O-C-O-A. Google cacao and its medicinal effects, health effects. You'll see all these articles. Apples, bananas, almonds, rice bran, oat bran, Jerusalem artichoke, inulin, flax meal, sunflower, lecithin, blueberries, magnesium, ascorbic acid, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn berries, papaya, pomegranate, stevia, reishi mushrooms, turmeric, blackberries, grapeseed extract, resveratrol, quercetin, dihydrate, coenzyme Q10, vitamin E with mixed tocopherols, ginseng, green tea, cayenne pepper, and oats. And so how about that? I created this, took me a while to create it, but it's delicious tasting. It tastes like chocolate. And you take one scoop, and you put it in any beverage you want, a healthy beverage in the morning, all right? And you got it on sale. You can't beat the price, $69, saving $76. So that's good. How do you get it? Call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430, 646-926-5430, or visit him Monday through Saturday from noon till 8, or call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. I don't see any calls up. Do we have anyone on the line? No? Okay, that's fine. And also, Luann wanted me just to explain to you that our anti-aging study is full, and you can be on a waiting list, but it's full, and you're getting your blood, three times your blood workup done for free because we got a sponsor for it, and all of the special supplements, which are not normal supplements, they're anti-aging supplements, also for free. So we're happy about that. We thank them for putting that. They only did it because they saw the results, and we felt if we had better supplements, we'd even get better results. So we do. And our health and nutrition retreat going on at the same time, we're full. So I'm sorry people waited the last moment. I don't know why. Man, if I had 2 weeks where I could learn so much, change my health, change my life, change my perceptions, de-stress, detoxify, cleanse, rejuvenate, rebalance in a positive, healthy environment with a great support team in one of the most beautiful environments in America, with classes on organic gardening and hydroponics and growing mushrooms and that you're going to be eating and all the other things we're doing there, and seeing how it goes from the bees. We have all these beehives and going up and pollinating, and then the fruits of that pollination in the orchard, and how to ferment foods yourself in your own home, yeah, I'd make that a priority. We make so many other things a priority that shouldn't be. That can wait another day. Your health can't, and your happiness can't, and your wellness of mind can't. You know, Luann's number is 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. Now we're going over to Utrecht Sleet, who's standing by.